Hi, I'm Phyllis with Faring Way at Union Point in Weymouth. Our 55-plus independent retirement community is designed for a new generation of active seniors. Faring Way is situated in a neighborhood like the one you've always lived in. You'll walk out the front door into a vibrant community with neighbors of all ages, shopping, recreation, and entertainment. So why don't you schedule a tour with me today, and I'll show you all the ways we're redefining retirement at Faring Way. Find us at faringway.org/WATD.
Looking for sound advice? That's the one thing you'll find at South Shore Hearing Center. They'll help you improve your hearing so you can reconnect with friends, family, and the world around you. When your hearing improves, your entire life will too. From the moment you walk in the door, the staff at South Shore Hearing Center will make you feel comfortable and in control. Through the hearing test and consultation process, the highly educated doctors of audiology at South Shore Hearing Center will assist you in finding the right solution that fits your budget and lifestyle. South Shore Hearing Center, located in South Weymouth's Stetson Medical Center and online at sshc.com. South Shore Hearing Center, trusted for sound advice for over 30 years.
Welcome to My Generation, brought to you by South Shore Senior News. This is the show that focuses on local health and wellness, financial planning, elder law, senior fitness, and entertainment. However old or young you may be, My Generation would like to help you age well and enjoy yourself doing it. Here are your hosts, Patty Abbott and Tom Foy.
Good evening and welcome to My Generation, brought to you by the South Shore Senior News. I'm Tom Foy.
And I'm Patty Abbott. Good evening, everyone.
Well, thanks for tuning in tonight. It's good to have you with us here on 95.9 WATD. As most of you know, Patty and I are the publishers of the award-winning South Shore Senior News, the only publication for mature adults distributed free every month to more than 400 locations in 31 cities and towns here on the South Shore. Please pick up a copy of our December issue or visit our website, www.southshoreSenior.com, to access all of our issues, as well as audio links to all of our radio shows, plus a whole lot more. In just a few minutes, we will be speaking with health and happiness specialist Debbie Lynn Toomey, a registered nurse. But first, it's time to have Patty bring us up to date on what's going on out there in the South Shore.
Well, we're right on the heels of Thanksgiving, and I don't know about you, but I am still really full from that wonderful dinner that we continue to enjoy. And we're right in the middle of small shopping month. Shop small, shop local, small businesses. And I was lucky enough to be involved in the Hull Holiday Shopping showcase today, and boy, what a turnout for people shopping locally. It was just great. So now, here's a few things coming up this week. Last week in November. On Tuesday, the South Shore Conservatory is holding a monthly free concert at their Duxbury campus as part of their Coffee Break concert series. This concert is called Blue Tuesday, and it's featuring jazz and blues by conservatory faculty members. The concert starts at 11, so visit their website, www.sscmusic.org, to find out more. And these are great series. They'll have another one next month, too. Also this Tuesday and also this Thursday, our friend and elder law attorney Rob Romano is holding a free seminar on why you should not transfer your assets. He will be holding the Tuesday event at the Quincy Council on Aging from 10 a.m. to 12 noon, and then again on Thursday in Braintree at the Thayer Public Library. Please call attorney Romano to RSVP. Here's his number. 617-769-9843. Rob is an expert, and he can answer all of your questions about protecting your assets as you age into retirement, or if you already are retired. Then the Friends of the Kingston Council on Aging are holding their annual Christmas Fair this coming Saturday, December 2nd, from 9 to 2 p.m. at the Senior Center on 30 Evergreen Street. So please continue to shop local to support the local business economy. And don't forget, you can be a Santa to a senior this season. It's a wonderful program, and it once again, it's being sponsored by Home Instead Senior Care of Norwell. This program ensures that more than 200 of our senior neighbors who would otherwise not have a visitor or a gift this holiday will receive a wrapped personal gift from a volunteer. You can find the Be a Santa to a Senior Giving Tree at the Hanover Mall in front of the mall security desk, which is right outside the entrance to Sears. Written on each paper ornament on the tree is the first name of a senior with his or her modest request, for instance, slippers, socks, a magazine, a bathrobe, a sweater, just a few things they've been asking for. You can be involved by just picking up one of these paper ornaments from the tree, purchasing the requested item, and then return it to the attendant at the security desk, unwrapped. Volunteers will take it from there. It's a wonderful way to make sure some of our most lonely and isolated neighbors are remembered this season. Thanks again to Home Instead Senior Care, along with the South Shore Elder Services, for getting behind this program again this year. It really does make a difference.
It certainly does. And Todd Anderson is the owner of that Home Instead Senior Care, and I want to give you a great big thank you for that.
And I also want to say I saw Kate McLeod Emery and her husband Lloyd at the Hull Nantasket Showcase today, and they look so great. Kate is coming out with a new book. I don't know if I'm allowed to say the name of it, but she has a poem called 80 is the New 40. So think along those lines. Anyhow, it was great to see them, and I'm sure you'll be hearing a lot more from them, especially in our newspaper and on our radio show as the months roll on. They're some of our great friends, and I know they're listening tonight. Hi, Kate and Lloyd.
Hello, Kate. Hello, Lloyd. Well, thanks for that update, Patty.
Sure.
I'm looking forward to being a Santa to a senior again this year as well.
So am I.
It's a great program. And now it is my pleasure to introduce tonight's guest, Health and Happiness Specialist, Debbie Lynn Toomey, the registered nurse. Welcome to our show.
Thank you so much, Tom and Patty, for having me here. I'm very excited to be here.
Oh, you're very welcome.
Yeah. And you're also an author.
I am an author of the Happiness Result books.
So that's great.
Yes.
And you're an RN, and this is a great time of year to really talk to you about how do we keep our spirits up.
Yes. Well, my family knows me well enough that this is my favorite time of the year. And
for many of us, it really
is. Yes, really
absolutely.
Is.
Absolutely.
Oh,
it's
definitely.
My favorite season of the year.
Oh, I love it. But working as a nurse for over almost 30 years now and taking care of so many different patients with stress-related ailments, we do get a lot of admissions. Patients, elderly patients, who come in with signs of stress and loneliness from just, you know, life. And not knowing how to handle it. So it could be a tough time of the year for a lot of people, definitely. And that's why it's so good for, you know, people to learn simple ways to kind of lift their spirits.
Well, it's depressing for me to know that 11 million or 28% of people age 65 or older live alone right now. That's what the latest U.S. Census tells us. And as people get older, their likelihood of living alone only increases, of course. Additionally, more and more older adults do not have children, and that means fewer family members to provide company and care to those adults becoming seniors. So that really is a tough statistic to hear. While living alone, as we know, it doesn't always lead to social isolation. It can. And that your mind and body are so connected, as we learn, that it really can impact your physical health. And that's when these folks, you see them in the hospitals and declining.
I agree. So one of the best ways to be able to help people, especially when they're in that state of loneliness and they're elderly, and they're, especially if they're not able to get out by themselves and they're dependent on people coming in to help them, is to learn some little techniques that can, again, lift their spirits. And it could be as simple as a new gratitude technique of writing a letter, a gratitude letter, and writing it to somebody who is either has passed or somebody that has done really something really special for them. Mm. And this letter could be either delivered in person, asking somebody to help them deliver it in person. Mm-hmm. So that way, that person is experiencing a positive experience, and also, so the recipient is receiving the positive experience, and also the person giving it is also receiving a positive experience. This gratitude letter has been proven to really lift people's emotion for months. And it's a really a nice, sincere way of really writing down your emotions, how that person made you feel, and the impact that the person created in your life. Mm. So for people who, if they're to write it to for somebody who has passed, that also works. Mm. So this letter doesn't have to be delivered in person. It will work that way, but also it can be given or written for somebody who has passed. So again, it's just a way to allow positive emotions to pour down on the pages. So mm. that way, it's there, it's clear, and as the person's writing it, they're able to reflect back on all those wonderful, feel good emotions and memories that person did for them,
and not just for the, say, the senior who's alone or isolated, also the caregivers. This
yes.
is a time when caregivers really are over the top stressed.
Yes, definitely, most definitely. Well, I'm 51 this year. I have a
happy
family.
Birthday.
Oh, thank you.
Are you kidding me?
I am not kidding you.
Either I'm getting older and my eyes don't recognize it, or you're very youthful.
Well, she's very grateful for things. She wrote the book, so it's reflected in her face.
I just look older because I guess I'm a curmudgeon.
You are.
I guess 51's a new 41, right?
Well, if 80 is the new 40.
Exactly.
Thanks
there you
for
go.
Giving us permission to do that, Kate.
Thank you, Kate. But, being in the sandwich generation, I have my family.
Oh,
I
yes.
also have my aging parents.
Mm-hmm.
So being in that midst of being a parent for my parents, for not really my parents, but being a caregiver at times for my parents when they have, health issues.
Mm-hmm.
Being a caregiver myself, even though I'm a nurse, I've been a nurse, being a caregiver, being on the different side of the bed is very stressful.
Mm.
It's very stressful because it's a different type of care you're giving. There's a lot of emotions, personal emotions, and that just kind mm-hmm. of rules all the decision making that's happening in that very moment. So,
yeah. Do you know that the average age or the average person who is a caregiver today is a 52-year-old female? So you almost fit that
to a
T.
Oh.
You are that sandwich generation.
Yes, definitely.
With the children you're giving
yes.
care to and
yes.
your parents.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Keeping everything balanced.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Thank goodness you're an expert at it.
Well, I don't know if I'm an expert, but
you're
I'm doing my best.
You're a specialist.
I'm a health and happiness specialist.
And when we just before we came into the studio, I asked how Thanksgiving was, and you just were so excited to say, yes, it's a wonderful time when family comes together.
Yeah.
It's all in your attitude, I think.
It is.
Because
it
for
is.
Some, it's very stressful.
It is.
To clash with those family members.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But for you, it was a great experience.
It was a great experience. Mm. I mean, is there really a perfect family?
I don't know.
I don't know. But you know what? We can create good, happy moments mm-hmm. in the midst of, relating to our family members who mm-hmm. sometimes, we kind of don't like maybe so much, right?
Right.
So
we didn't choose them.
We did not choose
we
them. Yeah. But we could be amiable
mm-hmm.
and we could just find good things to be grateful for, you know, having them in our lives.
Well, what is gratitude? Before we came out to the studio tonight, I looked this up and I read something that says gratitude is a personality trait, it's a mood, and it's an emotion. Mm-hmm. So certain people, especially anyone we know people who are happy and grateful. We know people who are not. We know people who the gratitude strikes them here and there. How can you learn to incorporate more of this gratitude or being thankful into your life? Because it has a direct relation to your physical health.
It does, yes. The way I learned it was I was studying positive psychology, which is the science of happiness, the sign of
there is a science to happiness.
There is a science of happiness, and happiness can be learned, just like gratitude can be learned. So, and when I was studying positive psychology, one of the assignments was to do a character personality assessment. Mm-hmm. And it's via character.org. There's a free version. And so
what's it called again?
Via, V-I-A, character.org.
Okay.
There's a free version, and I highly recommend it. For there's adults and also a youth version. And the top strength, it has 24 character strengths that we all have. Mm-hmm. And the way you take it is you answer the questions, and then the results are given to you right there and then. And it gives you, it lists your top strengths to the lesser strengths, number one all the way to 24. Mm-hmm. The top strength, my top strength ended up being gratitude.
Wow.
And I didn't.
Come by that naturally.
Well, I was disappointed, actually, when I found out that was it. So, what I ended up doing was just experimenting even more on how gratitude played into my life. And that's when I discovered, yes.
Okay. Wow. We're going to hear more about that.
We have to go to break. I'm sorry, but we'll be right back. Well, thank you. Excuse me. So coming up, we'll hear more from our guest, health and happiness specialist, Debbie Lynn Toomey. But we are Tom and Patty, and you're listening to 95.9 WATD.
Hi, I'm Phyllis with Faring Way at Union Point in Weymouth. Our 55-plus independent retirement community is designed for a new generation of active seniors. Faring Way is situated in a neighborhood like the one you've always lived in. You'll walk out the front door into a vibrant community with neighbors of all ages, shopping, recreation, and entertainment. So why don't you schedule a tour with me today, and I'll show you all the ways we're redefining retirement at Faring Way. Find us at faringway.org/WATD.
Looking for sound advice? That's the one thing you'll find at South Shore Hearing Center. They'll help you improve your hearing so you can reconnect with friends, family, and the world around you. When your hearing improves, your entire life will too. From the moment you walk in the door, the staff at South Shore Hearing Center will make you feel comfortable and in control. Through the hearing test and consultation process, the highly educated doctors of audiology at South Shore Hearing Center will assist you in finding the right solution that fits your budget and lifestyle. South Shore Hearing Center, located in South Weymouth's Stetson Medical Center and online at sshc.com. South Shore Hearing Center, trusted for sound advice for over 30 years.
Hey, you're listening to My Generation, brought to you by the South Shore Senior News here on 95.9 WATD with your host Tom and Patty. We are back with health and happiness specialist Debbie Lynn Toomey.
Yes, and I want to let everyone know to go to your website, which is a terrific, Debbie. It's healthandhappinessspecialist.com.
Thank you.
There's lots of good information there.
Great. Yeah.
Especially going into this holiday season.
Oh, yes, definitely. Yeah.
Not just caring for people, but even going shopping. Mm. Driving in a car can drive you crazy.
Yes, most definitely.
What do you say? Just be grateful we have wheels or we can get out in the sunshine. But getting back to gratitude, it's an expression of thanks and appreciation. But it is an emotion. And getting back to that, you were talking about the test you took, and you came out with gratitude as your biggest or strongest trait.
Yeah.
You were hoping for something else.
I was hoping for something sexier.
Oh.
Like leadership or, you know, self-regulation
or
justice. Something
just to make you aware, this is a PG show.
Yes. Yeah. There's nothing wrong with gratitude. And what actually prompted you to write your books to go into this particular field?
Oh, well, okay. So studying the positive psychology, the science of happiness, one of our assignments was, our main assignment to be able to finish the curriculum is to have a project. And my project was to do some sort of a spiritual program that had to do with my life experience and had to do with nothing really religious, but something that really helped me bring more of myself out into the world, which was being authentic and having more awe and wonder in my life and being empowered by, you know, having, you know, people that I look up to and being also somebody that other people can look up to. having self-compassion for myself, because Lord knows I'm not perfect and I make plenty of mistakes. So, you know, learning ways to give myself permission to be human, optimism, having faith and really believing that, you know what, I can do it. I don't know how, but I know I can do it. Practicing mindfulness and having enjoyment. So that became the acronym for my book, which is awesome. AWESOME.
Mm-hmm. Now, there's another word that you hear all the time these days, mindfulness. Mm-hmm. What does that really mean?
Okay, well, depending on who you talk to, we'll have different definitions because there's so many different mindfulness experts out there. Mindfulness basically means it's being in the present moment and paying full attention with no judgment. Some people might say it's just actively noticing new things. That's Ellen Langer. Her take on mindfulness is when you just actively notice new things, you're being mindful. Other people like Jon Kabat-Zinn might say, okay, well, mindfulness is really paying attention in a particular way in a given moment with no judgment. So it could be so elaborate, or it could be so simple. It's just being in the now, using all of your senses, having it be fully awake, so that way you're fully connected with your mind, body, and spirit, and also what's around you.
That's a good explanation.
Excellent.
I've often heard that it's possible to be depressed by living in the past, and it's possible to have anxiety by living in the future. And I understand that now, because often I think about what I have to do tomorrow today, and it causes a lot of anxiety in me. And if you focus too much on the past, it can bring you to a depressed level or melancholy or sadness. So I see what you're saying about living in the now and be grateful for that. And I think it's easier said than done. For some of us.
It is.
Especially if we're in a stressful situation, which we can find ourselves in at any given time. But are there exercises you can do to help you focus on that?
The most important thing is creating the intention that you want to practice mindfulness. That's one thing. And then
that's huge, just to recognize that you want to do that.
You want to try it. It's something new. It's not a religion. It's not a belief system, because there's a lot of people who think, oh, mindfulness. Right now I'm doing a mindfulness research study at Tufts Medical Center for stress reduction for nurses. And when I was trying to get people to, when I was recruiting, there was one nurse that said, oh, no, I can't do that because that's meditation. I can't meditate. I don't want to screw up your study. I really don't. I can't quiet my mind. I said, well, mindfulness is not just meditation. There are some meditation in mindfulness, but it's not just meditation. It's okay. But she just was convinced that it's mindfulness is equal to meditation, which is not. So there's a lot of confusion out there. So anyway, so just creating the intention that, hey, I want to try a new practice. A new way of paying attention. Some people call it mindfulness. Some people call it being in the now. It's just, I want to know what's
paying
going
attention,
on.
That's a good way too.
Pay attention, I want to know what's going on in my mind without my mind running away from me.
Right.
Some people say, oh, we have a monkey mind. Our mind is swinging from the
past
to the future, to the present. You know, my kids make fun of me. It's like, Mom, we're eating breakfast. Why are you thinking about dinner already? You know, because my mind does that. And because my mind does that, I love practicing mindfulness because it reminds me to practice what I'm preaching. So practicing something new, which is mindfulness, and it doesn't have to be, you don't have to be in a sitting lotus position that, you know, so many beautiful yoga experts do in the magazine. You could just practice mindfulness as you're sipping your nice cup of tea. You know, really experiencing the coolness of that china, of that little cup that you have, or maybe a mug, or a Dunkin' Donuts coffee, you know, that extra large coffee that you have. Experiencing how that feels, the warmth, how soft or how hard that container is. And then bringing it closely to your mouth and just allowing your nose to come alive. What does that smell like? What does that remind you of? And maybe adding a little bit of gratitude there. How many people did it take to grow this coffee bean or herbs from this tea to help it come into in this beautiful mug or, I don't know, teacup that it's in. So you can infuse a little bit of gratitude in that and just really noticing, wow, I'm really enjoying this cup of tea, even though I haven't sipped it yet, or coffee, even though it hasn't really gone into my mouth. So once it goes into your mouth, okay, what does it feel like? It's hot, it's warm, it's cold, you know, depending if you're having iced coffee or iced tea or not. But just really recognizing every micro movement that your body is doing allows you to be fully awake and connected to what you're doing. That is a mindfulness practice right there.
Mm-hmm.
Sipping it, noticing, oh, which side of the mouth is this liquid going into? Is it on the right side? Or, and, you know, just noticing, can you feel the warmth or the cold going down your throat? Just really fully coming, becoming connected to what you're doing. So that's simple. It's, people might think, okay, she's just drinking coffee. But for that person who might be doing a mindfulness practice in that very moment, it's more than just drinking coffee. You're really experiencing this positive connectedness with what you have in front of you.
That's great.
It's very great, yes.
Do you ever practice that?
You live with me, you know.
Well, I think you do in many ways, and
well,
a lot of it relates
when I'm having breakfast, I'm thinking
food.
About lunch.
No.
There you go.
And then when
you
I'm having
do.
Lunch, I'm thinking about dinner.
No.
That part, yes.
You're being silly. But I do see it in you in certain instances, and it usually does involve food because you truly enjoy new flavors and textures and dishes that you love. You really, really appreciate them. And I can see that.
See, I've been mindful my whole life.
I wouldn't say that.
Well, let me take you back to Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is a beautiful time of the year where you walk into somebody's home and you smell what?
The aromas of the kitchen.
Aroma,
right,
and that's the aroma that comes to life. If you were to smell that aroma once in during the summer, what would that remind you of?
It would bring me back.
It would,
wouldn't it? It would.
Yeah. So it's great. Great memories.
A fire outside or something like that.
A bonfire.
Yeah. They all bring you back.
Yeah.
Your senses really have memory.
Yeah, it does. And it comes to life.
And pay attention to them.
Exactly.
And have it come to life.
Yeah.
So you can joy instead of just being miserable.
Well, yes.
And some people are. But I think they need to try to practice this.
I mean, everybody needs to practice this, young or old.
Right.
The thing is, it's we hang on to negativity so much more easily than positivity. We have this negativity bias that...
That's so true.
It's scientifically proven that we have this tendency to rely and allow negative experiences stick. And that's more for self-preservation. It worked a long time ago when we were in the caveman era, when we went down this path and we heard, so that's negative. That's a threat right there.
It's almost an instinctual.
Yes, it's more for survival. But now, fast forward all these years, there's no more saber-toothed tiger that's going to attack us. Mm. But still, our body wants to keep us from harm, from helping. It's trying to help us from being hurt. Physically or mentally. So these negativity bias, it sticks to us like Velcro. There's this Velcro Teflon theory. Rick Hansen puts it that way. So this negative experience stick to us, but the positive experience slide like Teflon.
What a shame.
Yeah, so there it's...
because I'm sure we have many more positives than negatives in our lives.
That's it.
But we seem to focus on the negatives, as you say.
Exactly. That's where mindfulness comes in.
Recently, you were on an NPR station talking about this in the workplace.
Yes.
And I can certainly see how the negatives stick in the workplace.
Yes.
And the advice that you gave can certainly be translated to an everyday life. You don't have to be out in corporate America to experience it or to counteract it.
Right, right.
And so how do we do that? How do we pay attention to more of the positives? How do we allow ourselves to do that?
Well, that's good. I love that you say, how do we allow ourselves? First of all, we allow ourselves to receive it. We expect it, because what we look for is what we get, right?
That's
thoughts
right.
become things. So if we are expecting a bad day, our mind is such a powerful listener. It's going to zero in on all those negative experiences throughout the day. And it's going to further validate the fact that, oh, I told you, it's going to be a
bad
day.
Self-fulfilling prophecy.
Right.
Absolutely.
Yes. So creating that intention, it's going to be a good day. Your mind is going to be saying, okay, we're looking for good things. And that's what it's going to zero in on. And once you find these good experiences, like a compliment or mm-hmm. somebody buying you a nice cup of tea or somebody allowing you to pass them, giving you room in the expressway, mm-hmm. then you hold on to that. Hold on to it for about 10 to 20 seconds if you can, because the more you hold on to the positive experience, the more you're creating this these grooves in your system, in your brain, allowing new grooves to process positive experience even more and more.
So that can actually build on itself.
It does.
And you can become a more positive person by paying attention and practicing.
Yep, it's a habit.
It becomes a habit.
Yeah.
Interesting. I like this.
Yes, I've been mindful my whole life. I'm realizing that. Always positive.
Debbie, this really
negative.
Isn't a comedy show. He is funny.
What's so funny?
You.
Nothing, hey.
I love it.
But even in my life, I remember I was a very good student, but if I got one small infraction or I got a B or B plus instead of the A or the A minus, that's the only thing I would focus on. Mm-hmm. And
getting
B's
got me a Corvette when I was
well,
in high school.
Even I had a different
and
set of circumstances.
And you were upset about getting a B?
Yeah, especially if I wanted an A. And I wanted to be on the dean's list or something like that. And I don't think that popular culture really teaches that too much. But it's good to see it coming out in little pockets around, because it really can give you a better quality of life.
Right.
And also reflect in your physical well-being as well. You must see that in your, not just in your nursing, but also in your other work.
Yes, definitely. When I do corporate training and when I'm brought in to help bring up the positivity in the workplace, to build engagement and communication, definitely one of the practices I teach is gratitude, because gratitude is just more than saying thanks. It's a way of viewing life, and it's also a part of gratitude is also expressing appreciation to a coworker or your leader or manager.
Perfect. I can't get over you, bees. Well, listening audience, we have got to go to a break here. So coming up, we'll hear more from our guest and health and happiness specialist Debbie Lynn Toomey. But first, a word from our sponsors. You're listening to 95.9 WATD.
Back then, he walked you down that aisle, showed you the true meaning of family, taught you the life lessons you teach your own kids today. But now, he could use a hand, and so could you. Thankfully, there's Senior Helpers. A Senior Helpers caregiver can help with housework, prepare meals, build a lasting relationship with your loved one, and support all personal needs.
Call Senior Helpers South Shore at 781-421-3123.
Harbor Mortgage Solutions is a family-owned and operated mortgage business located in Braintree. The company specializes in educating senior homeowners on the pros, cons, and potential suitability of a reverse mortgage. Frequently misunderstood, the FHA-insured reverse mortgage was developed for the special needs of seniors. For most seniors, they provide a far superior solution compared to more familiar home equity lines of credit offered by most banks. Although the benefits of reverse mortgages can be substantial, they are not for all seniors. The best way to determine suitability is to consult a certified professional. For a free copy of our brochure describing key considerations, call 781-843-5553 or download a copy from harbormortgage.com. Please call me, George Downey, at 781-843-5553 with any questions, or visit our website, harbormortgage.com, for more information.
Harbor Mortgage Solutions, Inc. is a licensed mortgage broker, NMLS number 2846, Massachusetts number MB2846, and Rhode Island number 2004181LB. George Downey is a certified reverse mortgage professional, NMLS number 10239.
We'll be right back.
Generation, brought to you by the South Shore Senior News here on 95.9 WATD. We are your hosts, Tom and Patty, and we are back with Debbie Lynn Toomey. Welcome back.
Thank you.
Everybody have a nice little break?
Yes, we did. So here we are, almost on December, and we have a brand new year ahead of us, 2018. And a lot of us are looking back at the year feeling badly about ourselves because we didn't do what we didn't lose the weight, we didn't get the degree, we didn't do this chore, we didn't write that book, whatever. How do we get rid of that and look forward to 2018 with a fresh eye?
That's actually a great question because I'm going through that process right now. I'm feeling, okay, I don't think I did enough. But then, you know what? What happens is I had to, my inner voice said, okay, practice what you preach. Mm-hmm. Let's go back. Let's reflect on 2017. And so before I came here, I was doing that. Like, okay, so I did this. I went to this. I helped with a training in Santa Barbara.
So you're looking at the positives.
Yeah, you have to.
Do you write them down?
I write them down because seeing
is
believing.
It makes them real.
Yes, it does. It does. And the more you write it down, the more you're able to remember even more what you did and your contribution and the people around you that you had fun with. Mm-hmm. And it's a nice jog down memory lane. Mm-hmm. It's a nice jogging.
That's a great end of year exercise.
Yes, yes. And knowing that 2018 is coming around, just pushing some of the things that you haven't done to the beginning of the year. Life goes on.
Yeah.
And maybe reprioritizing. Maybe what you thought was important in 2017, maybe it wasn't based on what you experienced this year.
Yes, things shift.
Yeah. Mm. And just giving yourself permission to be human about that.
That's the biggest part, I think, giving yourself permission.
And that's where self-compassion comes in.
Yeah.
Yes.
So now, to get back to your awesome PATH system, I think it's great. And you do have a book, and folks can get the book. What am I looking at here, Debbie?
Oh. At www.thehappinessresult.com. So the book itself has its own website.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
I would urge you to go out and look at this, thehappinessresult.com.
Thank you.
And let's go over those 7 points that you have that are so awesome.
It's awesome.
It's awesome.
Literally awesome. The acronym is awesome. Awesome stands for authenticity, being yourself.
So be yourself.
Be yourself.
Can you tell us about being yourself?
Stand up and just be, allow yourself to be heard and seen. Some people are just so comfortable just blending in the background or just, you know, keeping quiet and do not want to stir the boat. Mm. At this stage of the game, honey, you got to speak up. Or if you can't, at least raise your hand to say, you know what, that doesn't work for me. Or just do something just so that people will know that you're there. Stop allowing yourself to not be seen. Stop shrinking, as Brene Brown would say. Don't shrink. Stop shrinking. Start puffing yourself up and just allow yourself to be seen and heard and be counted.
Yeah. That's usually when I get in trouble.
I know. Well, you go the other way. You're authentic to the 100th degree.
Yeah, whenever I'm heard and seen, usually there's trouble coming.
But I get what you're saying, Debbie, because some people just sit there and let things happen to them.
And they're
them.
Just trying to be good people because that's what they were taught growing up.
Right.
You got to be good and keep your mouth closed. If you can't say something nice, don't say it at all. But you know what? There comes a point in our life where we have to assert ourselves. And there's freedom in that. And there's courage in that.
Right. Right. So first point is be authentic.
Yeah.
Then number two.
Wonderment.
Wonderment.
Yes.
So there's your W.
W is living as if every day is almost like your birthday or Christmas or whatever holiday it is that you celebrate. Just being in awe and just expecting something really cool. And this point of like anticipation. Remember the ketchup. Yeah,
something good is coming my way.
Yes, awe. Add more awe into your life. There's the sign. You know how there's a science of happiness, science of gratitude. Mm-hmm. There's a science of awe, where when you add more awe, wonderment into your life, it's very energizing, and it makes you feel so excited and you can't wait.
You're just saying the word, and I can see how energized you are. It's great. Wonderment.
So adding more wonderment into your life is very powerful. at any age. It doesn't have to be for children. It could be for people in the workplace and also certainly for seniors, mm-hmm. adding more awe. I wonder what's going to happen today. I wonder what good things. I wonder what I'm going to be doing today.
Mm. Definitely.
Yeah.
So that's the be authentic, mm-hmm. wonderment. Mm-hmm. Number three.
Is empowerment.
Empowerment. I'm writing these down, by the way.
Oh, good. So, thank you. Empowerment is looking for heroes, having models in your life. It could be coaches, it could be mentors, it could be historic figures, it could be, I love the Marvel superheroes, or growing up, you know, the Charlie's Angels. Having those type of models so that way you could really borrow best practices or getting inspiration from them. And also, as we grow up, recognizing that we're also, our actions are, we're becoming, we are models for positive change, or we are models for these type of things in people in our lives. So knowing that and keeping ourselves in check, knowing that people are watching us and also, you know, learning from us. So becoming our own hero is very important as well.
And having others and becoming,
Yeah.
I know that what really gets me energized is reading about my heroes or listening to them on tape or something like that.
It
really gives you a different perspective. So that's authentic, wonderment, empowerment.
And then self-compassion.
That's what we were talking about, right?
Giving
this is a big one that I don't think many of us in the baby boomer age group does too much.
It's a tough one.
Yeah.
It's a tough, we're hard on ourselves.
Yes.
We're hard, and it's this Puritan way of looking at our life, ourselves, as, okay, we need to always be, you know, giving
disciplined and doing.
Yes.
You're always last.
Yes,
you
exactly.
Don't ask for anything.
Exactly.
Right.
And it's hard to unlearn that. Mm. It's hard to give ourselves permission to do that. And so the science of self-compassion is so amazing and also is embraced in the workplace as well, because everybody makes mistakes, you know. So in the workplace, our kids, our adults, our seniors, we all make mistakes. But when we can learn to recognize that inner critic in our mind that
that's
just kind
one.
Of rules, we mindfully can catch that. When we could mindfully catch that, then, so there's three components to self-compassion. There's mindfulness, there's self-kindness, and also common humanity. So there's the three components to what Kristen Neff, the one of the leading experts in self-compassion, describes what self-compassion is. So self-compassion is self-kindness, being kind to ourselves, because we could be such a, sometimes the how we talk to ourselves is worse than how we talk to our worst enemy.
Some people talk out loud to themselves and you hear them.
Yeah.
It's terrible.
Yeah. It's
hard. Oh, I'm so stupid.
Yes.
Or, oh, I'm just so dumb.
Yeah.
And that's terrible.
And to label themselves that, then you become that.
Right.
And it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy,
right?
And then so there's also common humanity, another component to self-compassion, knowing that, you know what, everybody makes mistakes. It's a human experience. And we need to, the more we're able to bring awareness to that, the more we can then go on. And then there's the mindfulness piece when you catch yourself doing that. So giving or practicing self-compassion is so important for people, especially as we're getting older, our generation.
Yeah, it is something. And that's a tough one, self-compassion. And that reminded me of something, and now I've forgotten it. But anyhow, we'll go on to number five. Authentic, wonderment, empowerment, self-compassion, which has three components.
Yes.
And then the fifth one is?
Optimism, yes. And not, just like happiness can be learned, gratitude can be learned, self-compassion, optimism can be learned as well.
How do we do that?
Okay, well, there's different ways.
Because I know people who are very pessimistic.
And we also know an optimist, though.
We do. So, and some people are pessimists all the time.
Yes. Yeah, so people who are pessimists all the time, there's still hope for them, because there's different ways. Martin Seligman, the father of positive psychology, one of his specialty is really studying optimism. And so there's different ways to question our way of thinking when we're catching ourselves in that pessimistic mind frame. So knowing, is it something that's going to this negative experience, is this happening all the time? Is it really true? Mm. You know, just really asking yourself questions. Is it really, really true? Mm. Am I really, really that bad? Or is that person really, really that bad? You know, or, and does it happen all the time? Because some people say, "Oh, this happens to me all the time. I'm the cause.
Why me?
Why me?" So a pessimist always sees it as them being the main problem. Mm-hmm. An optimist will see, "Okay, something else happened that caused this to happen. It wasn't just me.
It wasn't me."
Yeah. So a pessimist always internalizes it and take it personally, and they think it's happening all the time for them. So when they want to practice optimism, mindfully. See, mindfulness actually is a nice doorway to a lot of these practices. When you can catch yourself, then you could start asking challenging questions like, you know, does it really, really happen all the time? Mm. Is it really, really me? I think not. You know, so the more you can catch yourself, the more you can ask these simple questions that could stop that negative critic thinking pattern from getting any
deeper. We have to kind of stop ourselves and then get back into the moment.
Yeah.
And then think.
And breathe.
And
right?
Breathe.
Yeah, breathe.
Yeah, yeah, very important. Breathe.
Breathing. I'm a high proponent. Yeah. I highly recommend it.
Highly recommend breathing.
I'm sorry to say we have to go to break again. Okay. But we'll be back with Debbie Lynn Toomey. But first, a word from our sponsors. You're listening to 95.9 WATD.
To learn more about how medical marijuana can be a natural alternative to prescription drugs and may help your chronic pain, arthritis, migraines, anxiety, or other debilitating conditions, visit MedWellHealth.net to schedule an evaluation related to the Massachusetts medical marijuana certification process. They have two convenient locations, 1200 West Chestnut Street in Brockton, and the newest location at 44 Washington Street in Brookline, located inside the Brookhouse. For more information, go to MedWellHealth.net. That's MedWellHealth.net.
Harbor Mortgage Solutions is a family-owned and operated mortgage business located in Braintree. The company specializes in educating senior homeowners on the pros, cons, and potential suitability of a reverse mortgage. Frequently misunderstood, the FHA-insured reverse mortgage was developed for the special needs of seniors. For most seniors, they provide a far superior solution compared to more familiar home equity lines of credit offered by most banks. Although the benefits of reverse mortgages can be substantial, they are not for all seniors. The best way to determine suitability is to consult a certified professional. For a free copy of our brochure describing key considerations, call 781-843-5553 or download a copy from harbormortgage.com. Please call me, George Downey, at 781-843-5553 with any questions or visit our website, harbormortgage.com, for more information.
Harbor Mortgage Solutions, Inc. is a licensed mortgage broker, NMLS number 2846, Massachusetts number MB2846, and Rhode Island number 200-41821LB. George Downey is a certified reverse mortgage professional, NMLS number 10239.
Hi, I'm Phyllis with Faring Way at Union Point in Weymouth. Our 55-plus independent retirement community is designed for a new generation of active seniors. Faring Way is situated in a neighborhood like the one you've always lived in. You'll walk out the front door into a vibrant community with neighbors of all ages, shopping, recreation, and entertainment. So why don't you schedule a tour with me today, and I'll show you all the ways we're redefining retirement at Faring Way. Find us at faringway.org/WATD.
Hey, you're listening to My Generation, brought to you by the South Shore Senior News here on 95.9 WATD. We're your hosts, Tom and Patty, and we are back with the lovely Debbie Lynn Toomey.
And before break, we were talking about the steps to live your best life. Mm-hmm. And you put it all into a very easy to remember acronym, AWESOME. Mm-hmm. Each letter standing for something to focus on in your life. And the first one is be authentic. Second, put wonderment into your life. Third, be empowered. Fourth, have self-compassion. Fifth, be optimistic. And that's one that I think certain people are born optimistic, but you say it can be learned as well.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah.
So that's a good one to learn.
Yes, definitely. There's a happiness pie. Have you ever heard of that? I'm sure that wasn't served on Thanksgiving.
I tried to serve it, but he wasn't buying it.
There's a happiness pie chart.
What's a pie chart?
No. Well, it's
happiness pie.
According to Sonia Livermirsky, who did a study on happiness, 50% of that happiness pie comes from our genes. So if we were born with happiness genes or optimistic genes or grateful genes, then, you know, we've got a good start in life. Mm-hmm. 40% is what we do, our intention, creating positive habits around that. And 10%, the remaining 10% has to do with life circumstances. Mm. It could be, you know, disfigurement, the way we were born, or, you know, failed marriages, or, you know, all these different, or bad jobs. So there's the 40% in that happiness pie chart that a lot of positive psychology experts out there, mindfulness experts, gratitude experts, awesomeness experts, focus on, because that can be a game changer in how we live our life and how we relate to others.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes, there's a way to build these authenticity muscle, the wonderment muscles, the empowerment muscles, the self-compassion muscles, optimism muscles. There's ways to do that. The best way to do that is bring awareness that we can do it, and there's simple, practical techniques that we could do. We don't have to buy something in the infomercial to do it.
Mm. It's something we can do it ourselves inside.
Yes, yeah, exactly.
I believe that, too.
Yeah.
So number five was optimism. Number six is what?
Mindfulness.
Mindfulness.
Yes.
Which is also part of self-compassion.
Mm-hmm. It's a component of it, yes.
And we talked about this at the beginning of the show, and it's something that is very, it seems trendy. It's almost everywhere you turn, you see mindfulness. But 20 years ago, I never heard that term.
Yeah.
But now it's something that many of us are practicing.
Right, right. It's one of the, I have three boys, and my 12-year-old, I just finished doing an after-school volunteer work. I was teaching mindfulness for middle schoolers. That was my volunteer work, and it's just so amazing. And I was the way I teach mindfulness is I ask them, so you know when the teachers tell you to pay attention in school, how do you do that? Well, we sit up straight, and when we look at them, I said, well, mindfulness is a way,
sorry,
teaches you. Mindfulness teaches you how to pay attention.
Mm-hmm.
So the way we pay attention is what? Being in the present moment and really being curious about what's going on and really listening and maybe touching, you know, if it's an art activity, touching whatever mediums we're using, you know.
So you use your body, too.
You're using your body and your mind.
When you go back, when you sit up straight and pay attention, it almost puts you in the mindset of being there.
Yeah, so it's just more than just, you know, using that body position, which is, you know, studies have shown that actually does help, you know, with as far as power poses with, you know, Amy Cuddy's work of power pose, the way we adjust our body is enough to really make us feel more alert, confident, and empowered. But it's more than just sitting up straight. It's really paying attention and being curious to what's going on and noticing your body as well. Are you are you tense? Are you getting nervous? Are you getting the butterflies in your stomach? So all these different things, these elements that's being engaged is what happens when you're paying attention. Being mindful.
Right. So that was number six.
Mm-hmm.
Now the last one, number seven.
Enjoyment.
Oh, that's a good one.
I love enjoyment.
That's a great one.
It is. It is. Enjoyment, we don't take enough time sometimes to do activities that gives us enjoyment.
Mm.
And that's so powerful. This could be for children, people in the workplace, you know, seniors.
Mm-hmm.
The more we could add more laugh, humor in our day, the better. So I'm also a laughter yoga leader. And when I teach...
Laughter yoga?
Yes.
What is that?
It's laughter.
Yeah.
You do laughter exercises and you do deep breathing exercises. And it's just, it becomes this beautiful synergy of laughter. Yoga. So it's purposely teaching people to come together, and I lead laughter yoga exercises. And one of the things I teach them is kids laugh about, you know, 300 times a day, and adults less than 50.
Mm.
So the more we can add more laughter, fun, enjoyment into our day, the better. Because laughter is actually a nice aerobic exercise. It really boosts our immune system.
Mm-hmm.
It clears our mind. It relaxes our muscles.
Lowers your blood pressure.
Lowers your blood pressure. There's so many wonderful things to laughter
and put yourself in positions where you will be.
Yeah, or watching.
Amused.
Yeah, watching funny
movies.
Funny movies, or giving a call to a friend who's really funny.
Someone to lift your spirits.
Yeah, exactly.
And just laugh.
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah, just give me a call.
I will give you a call. So I want to go back to where you actually write something down. I heard that if you're very angry, either sleep on it or write a letter that you'll never send, and that takes the emotion and puts it on paper. And you're talking about doing that with gratitude, being grateful to do that.
Yeah, so with gratitude, you do that. Also, if you're upset.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So if you're upset, actually, if you take it if you step back a little bit, if you're upset, when you label your emotion and just say, I'm upset, and just digging deeper and say, OK, what's making me upset? What is this upset emotion? Is it anger? Is it frustration? Is it irritation? When you could label that emotion, that's enough to kind of kick down the notch of that rage.
Mm.
So studies have shown that when you label your emotions, it's that the healing starts. And then if you want to go deeper, you could write about it and really just have a nice stream of just journaling what's causing you to do that.
Mm-hmm.
It's very powerful, very healing.
So now, Debbie, you are available to go out into the public for seminars and talks.
Yes.
To any group on the South Shore or anywhere that's interested. And I think this is a great season to start booking you for those different events.
I think you're
great. And again, your website, Debbie?
I have two websites. It's healthandhappinessspecialist.com.
Mm-hmm.
And the book, it has its own website, which is thehappinessresult.com.
And if you have advice for anyone this season, what would be your best advice going into the holidays right now, New Year's, and looking ahead?
Do something different. Start a new tradition.
Start
a new tradition.
Don't rely on the past.
Don't rely on the past and just pave way to a new tradition. That's exciting. There's awe in there. There's authenticity. There's enjoyment. There's a lot of awesomeness in that. Start something new.
That's a great tip, don't you think?
I think it is a great tip, yes.
And we're starting something new every day.
Yes, I try to live by that. It just somewhere along by February, it's falls by the wayside. But anyways,
thank you, Debbie.
So sorry the show has come to an end. But thank you for joining us tonight. It's been a pleasure. Tune in next week as our guest will be Ron Durante, director of Medwell Health and Wellness Centers. He'll be talking about the benefits of medical marijuana and discussing facts and myths about how you can be qualified to receive treatment. We're Tom and Patty, and you're listening to My Generation, brought to you by the South Shore Senior News here at 95.9 WATD. Have a great week.
Have
See
a
you
great
next Sunday.
Week.
And again,
thank you,
thanks
Debbie.
For being on the
thank
show,
you.
Debbie. Take my generation, baby. Why don't you all fade away? Don't try to dig what we all say. Trying to cause a big sensation. I'm just talking about my generation. What we all say. I'm trying to cause a big sensation.